Welcome to segment two of the 3-Point Stance. Here on segment two, we're going to start out with our section, Refresh Your Memory. It's going to be talking about some players from last year who did pretty well. You may have forgotten about them a little bit, though. They're getting drafted a little lower than they should this year.
So we're going to remind you about them, and then we're going to jump into sleepers. Some of those people that you haven't even thought about yet, but they might just get you the fantasy trophy in your league.
Get you to number one in your league. Starting out, though, on the 3-Point Stance, it's our section, Refresh Your Memory. First up, we're going to talk about a guy who should be drafted, I think, a lot higher than he's going to be drafted this year, and that's Kyle Orton.
This is a shame.
Let me
just start out by saying, I actually hope he doesn't start because I have Tim Tebow as a rookie in my league, and I would like to keep him as a number two quarterback. But if you go by the numbers, what happened last year, Kyle Orton is not a bad quarterback.
Denver is
a bad team.
Yeah.
But as far as his quarterback numbers, he didn't do bad at all. And all this talk about trading him in the offseason because they want to get Tebow in is completely ridiculous.
It is absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, Tebow, I think, will be a good quarterback, but not at the expense of having a good quarterback and getting rid of him just so you can, you know, start the guy who sold you a lot of jerseys.
Yeah.
And that's what I think's happening. He can easily be a number one quarterback somewhere, and definitely you have a steal if you have him as your number two, in my opinion.
Are you talking about Kyle Orton now?
Kyle Orton.
I don't know how Miami did not get this deal done. You know, they were looking seriously into trading for Kyle Orton. I don't know how you don't pull that trigger. With Chad Henne as your quarterback, how do you not want to upgrade to Kyle Orton?
Any Wolverine as your quarterback, unless you're the Patriots.
Seriously.
Sorry, was that all out?
Honest, Rob, do you have some stats on Kyle Orton for us?
Yeah, I sure do. In 2010, Kyle Orton completed 293 of 498 passes, so his percentage was a little low. However, he did throw for 20 touchdowns with 9 interceptions, and he threw for 3,652 yards.
And didn't start the last three.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, that's not a full season either.
Right. So, and he rushed 22 times for 98 yards, no touchdowns. So, nothing prolific there. He did fumble 4 times. His total fantasy points were 200.
200 and not even a full season. I mean, that's a starting quarterback. I mean,
200 definitely puts him in the top 25 or 30.
Yeah.
If I'd ever look at him again.
And don't forget he was throwing to a guy you might remember, Brandon Lloyd, at all.
Had a little bit of a good season.
Definitely wouldn't have had the same numbers he had Kyle Orton not been there.
Yeah.
So, if you could get him as your number two, I would say that would be a steal, you know.
Definitely.
A solid number two for you.
I'd take him as a number two, no questions asked.
Yep.
Next player we're going to talk about and refresh your memory is Michael Turner. Honest, Rob, do you have some stats for us on Michael Turner?
Yeah, I sure do, Jason. Turner actually got the ball 334 times, rushed for 1,371 yards and 12 touchdowns, another 12 receptions for 85 yards, no touchdowns there, did fumble only twice for 205 points.
I think why we're putting him here is I think he got lost in the shuffle with Arian Foster and Adrian Peterson and Chris Johnson. There was a lot of good running backs last year. And the fact that when you thought about the Atlanta Falcons scoring, you usually thought about Roddy White.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had Michael Turner, I think you realize how good of a player he actually is. My concern is his workload for the past 2 years.
He's been really high,
you know. But the thing is it didn't slow him down last year when people thought it was going to from his rushes from 2 years ago. So he might be the type of running back that can endure that type of punishment. I would take him top 7 for sure.
Yeah, and a lot of mock drafts going on right now, I think he's slipping near the bottom of the first round, if not into the second round. And I think that's a little low for him. I would have him somewhere right up around 6 or 7 in terms of top running backs. He can be a bit of a roller coaster. I actually had him on one of my teams last year, and it was sort of, you know, one good week, one bad week, one good week, one bad week. And, you know, so he can be a little up and down. But overall, over the course of a season, he's going to score you a lot of points.
Yeah, and I think that, that they have Julio Jones now, a rookie, to kind of complement Roddy White. I think that defenses are going to be a little bit more concerned about the pass game down there in Atlanta, and it might open up, you know, for Michael Turner to be a little bit more consistent in his scoring.
I agree, definitely. That passing game should help open up the running game there. Number three on our Refresh Your Memory section is going to be Frank Gore, running back there in San Francisco.
So good.
He is very good.
This is very near and dear to my heart, as you know, Jason. I was beating you pretty handily in a league we were in. I was number
one. That's debatable.
All year long. And then Frank Gore went out with an injury, and I collapsed.
Who won the league?
Like I said, Frank Gore went down with an injury, and I collapsed. That's kind of been the story of Frank Gore's career, though. You know,
yeah.
He he does very good until he gets injured, you know.
About a roller coaster ride. We're talking about Turner roller coaster.
Yeah, what was the last season? Do you remember that he played a full season, was it?
2006.
I mean, that's a long time.
Yeah. I was just going to say, he played, looks like, 11 games last year.
What were his stats in those games?
His stats in those games, he carried the ball 203 times for 853 yards and 3 touchdowns. He also had 46 receptions for 452 yards, 2 touchdowns on 73 targets. He's a big receiving running back. Mm-hmm. He only fumbled the ball twice, so he did have 147 points in 11 games. So he was on pace for well over 200.
Yeah.
Problem is, like, that roller coaster ride, he gets hurt, he can't make it through the season, and you're really in trouble.
So it's a gamble if you take him. That he's injury prone, but if he can stay healthy the full year, he's definitely number one running back. You know?
Yeah, I've got him probably about 7 or 8 on my list.
Yeah, I'd say he's more 9, 10-ish in mind. But okay. Definitely
up there.
Yeah, definitely.
All of those games he played, he scored in double digits in 7 of the 11.
Wow.
With a 20-point game and a 28-point game.
Wow.
So.
When he's in there, he's killer, man. It's just, can he stay healthy for a whole season?
Matt Stafford.
Matt Stafford syndrome. I like that. All right, moving on to number 4 here and refresh your memory. We're going to talk about Dwayne Bowe. Started out the year really cold last year. Just nothing going on. And then heated up and had a great second half of the season.
It's like he had like a ghost came and visited him in his sleep. Like, I mean, just... Seriously, I mean, he went...
The ghost of football pass.
That's what it was. You know, he was reminded the joy of catching the football when it's thrown to him. Honest Rob, you got some stats for us on Dwayne Bowe.
Yeah, I've got some stats on football pass here. he actually rushed the ball, he rushed once for 4 yards, just, you know, okay, fun, FYI. 72 receptions, 1,162 yards, 15 touchdowns.
Jeez.
For 200 fantasy points. So he was another top 25 or so scorer last year.
And like I said,
it's basically in a half a season for him, too.
Yeah, and you pretty much got him off the waiver wire, so congratulations. But, I mean, that was the kind of player that he was, you know? So I think a lot of people forget about him with good reason. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he doesn't start out the same way he did last year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he showed that he can get it going, you know?
I'm going to give you a little sample of the magic carpet ride of Dwayne Bowe throughout last year.
This
is just starting with week 3. Well, you know, I'm gonna just go from week 1. 1 point, 4 points, 12 points, by 3, 22, 20, 7, 12, 30, 22, 35, 0, 0, 5, 21, 6.
Oh, my God.
That's so ridiculous.
It is so up and down with Dwayne
35
Bowe.
And then 2 zeros.
Oh, jeez.
Think about it. You know, something to think about in your league. You
Dude
know?
Lays yeah. 2 eggs after a 35-point week.
Ridiculous. He was tired. Wore himself straight out.
So, something to think about. He's an up and down player. Definitely for a number 3 wide receiver, if you can get him there. And even a number 2.
I'd say definite number 2. I mean, with those numbers, he's a possible number 1. It's just, can he do it every game, you know?
That's the question. Yeah. That's what you got to take the chance on.
Yeah. So, but clearly, at least a number 2, I'd say, and the fifth and last player, and refresh your memory, we're going to talk about Ryan Grant.
Ryan Grizzy.
And the reason he is forgettable is because he didn't play much of anything last year.
He got injured in the first game.
Yep, but we wanted to remind you of what he did in 2009 so that you don't forget about him in your draft this year. Honest Rob, you got some stats for Ryan Grant in 2009?
Yes, some stats that we had to go back and kind of tabulate up. He played in all 16 games in 2009, attempted to run the ball 282 times for 1,253 yards, which makes his average almost 4.5 per carry, which is really good.
Yeah.
11 touchdowns. He had 25 receptions for 197 yards. Only had one fumble for the whole season.
Wow.
Leading to about 209 fantasy points.
And here's the thing with Ryan Grant. He is consistent. He's not a flashy guy. He's not the Chris Johnson type. If he gets out in front of you, it's not like you can't catch him. But if you get him down inside the 5-yard line, he's going to score. Mm-hmm. You're not going to stop him.
1,200 yards and 11 touchdowns on a season is really good.
Exactly.
You know, and he's going to be on a team, the Packers, that is mainly a passing offense. That's what they're known for. But, you know, you can't pass every down. They're going to run the ball, and it's going to be with Ryan Grant.
And I think they passed a lot last season because they had to.
Yeah.
Because they lost Ryan Grant in the first game. So, I mean, he might even stumble over into our next section, Which is sleepers, but don't sleep on them.
Don't sleep on Ryan Grant. Coming up, our next segment here on the 3-Point Stance is our sleepers. This is where we're going to let you know, one from each of us, a player that you need to keep your eye on because they're sort of flying under the radar, but they could have big point potential this year. Sort of a weird phenomenon here on the show. All of our three picks ended up being tight ends.
We didn't plan this, by
did
the
not
way.
Plan this. But Brad, why don't you start us out with your sleeper?
I'm going to go with Jermaine Gresham. He came on pretty strong at the end of last season, especially if Andy Dalton is the starting quarterback there. The speed of the NFL is something that a lot of kids coming out of college, it's something that they have to adjust to. Mm-hmm. He's going to want that safety blanket there of a tight end, sure-handed. He's pretty quick for a big guy, too. I think you're going to see a big uptick in his numbers this year. Honest Rob, can you give me stats from Jermaine Gresham last year?
Yeah, he did have 52 receptions for 471 yards and 4 touchdowns.
So not the biggest, you know, not going to blow you away with numbers last year. But what I saw was the potential to be big this year.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, I don't say, you know, get him as your starter, but definitely someone you want to stash away on your bench and see how Andy Dalton does. He could be a huge, huge receiver. Could be lead that team. In receptions easily.
All right. Good pick for a sleeper. Honest Rob, what do you got for your sleeper?
My sleeper is Brandon Pettigrew of the Lions. We're very high on the Lions here at the 3-Point Stance. in case you haven't noticed, we're big Michigan kind of sports people, big MSU fans, big Lions fans. So that said, I think Pettigrew came in with a lot of talent. Last year, he had 71 receptions for 722 yards and 4 touchdowns. He was one of Stafford's big targets because he was targeted 111 times. So he did put up 88 points last year. Not too shabby for a tight end.
Yeah.
Certainly not Gates numbers, but that's a different role to fill. Those are different shoes to fill.
Gates typically gets wide receiver numbers anyway.
Yes, exactly.
So.
and the Lions do have Scheffler, too, as another tight end who's going to get some action. But I think that this year, you're going to see that Pettigrew, he's lost some weight when he came into training camp. He's going to be a step faster. He's going to be able to break away from some of those linebackers. I think he's going to make some big plays.
And you know, we have Stafford back healthy, you know, which is, if he can stay that way, is good for all wide receivers on that team, tight ends, wide receivers, heck, the running backs even.
Yeah.
If he can stay healthy, he's a good quarterback.
It's just going to be whether he can stay in there and prove to us that he can finally, you know, play more than three games in a row.
The Matt Stafford syndrome.
Yeah, the syndrome named after him. All right, my pick for sleeper this year is going to be Jimmy Graham. He is a tight end for the New Orleans Saints. Everyone knows the New Orleans Saints loves to throw the ball all over the place. Drew Brees cannot pick a favorite receiver. He gives the ball to everyone. Jimmy Graham came on last year, came on strong in the second half of the season. Jeremy Shockey had some injuries. This year, they got rid of Jeremy Shockey. Jimmy Graham's going to be the starter, and there's not a whole lot of depth at tight end.
Nope.
You know, you've got about your top five, and after that, it's just sort of a crapshoot.
Yeah.
And I think Jimmy Graham is going to get you some solid points if you miss out on those top five tight ends.
Definitely. And you know, I think Drew Brees even threw me the ball a couple times last season.
He got it to you.
I actually had Graham on my team, and he made me happy a couple of those weeks there. Last thing we like to do here is shout outs. We always like to do shout outs at the end of the 3-Point Stance. As Honest Rob just explained, we're big Lions fans here, so I'm going to give a shout out to the Lions. We lost LeSure. That sucks.
It's painful.
But, you know, I really like the way that the draft went this year, the things I've seen improving on the team, whereas I hated almost everything they ever did before. So I want to give a shout-out to the Lions. It looks like we're heading in the right direction.
Definitely.
And I'm excited about that. So big shout-out to the Lions.
All right, I think my shout-out is going to go to me and Brad's Uncle Ray coming into town tomorrow morning. We're happy to see you, Uncle Ray. So there you go. There's your shout-out.
From California.
From Cali.
Yeah.
All right, my shout-out is going to be just on behalf of the entire 3-Point Stance crew. We just want to shout out the NFLPA and the owners for working it out, giving us some football, giving us a show this year.
We need football.
We'd have been mad if we didn't get a season.
Don't get me wrong. Lights Out does other things.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
this is our bread and butter.
This is our bread. Yeah, exactly.
Started,
so thanks for working it out, guys.
Definitely.
All right, that's going to do it for us here on the 3-Point Stance. I'm Brad.
I am Honest Rob with Stats.
And I'm Jason. Everybody, remember, we'd like to hear from you. We want your emails. We will answer your roster questions, your draft questions, whatever you need. So email us at the3pointstance@gmail.com, and that is the number 3, not the word 3. Everybody remember to keep your fantasy on the field.